Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your show host, Randy Fine, and you are going to love this show today. Karen Noe is an internationally renowned psychic medium. She's been doing this work for the past two decades, and she has a two-year client waiting list. Now, if you're listening because you want to get a reading, Karen will not be doing readings today because she has something really important to discuss with us today. She was a deep admirer of Dr. Wayne Dyer, a man whose teachings truly transformed her life. She followed his wisdom to always ask, "How may I serve?" so that she could be a force for peace and love in the world. And she was, like most of the rest of the planet, profoundly saddened when he left the physical plane on August 30th, 2015. A month later, as a Hay House author, she had been booked to talk on life after death at Hay House's I Can Do It conference in Orlando, Florida. She flew in a day early to attend a tribute to Wayne Dyer, along with members of his family. As she walked back to her hotel, Karen spoke inwardly to Dyer and asked him to give her a sign if he could hear her. She then asked how she could serve him. The answers came in minutes. And Karen's going to tell us about that experience and all about why she wrote this book, We Consciousness, 33 Profound Truths for Inner and Outer Peace, and how it was so influenced by Wayne Dyer. So I'd love to introduce you to her, so we're going to get started. Good morning, Karen. Are you with us?
I sure am. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, thank you for being my guest today. It is my absolute pleasure. So this is just an amazing, amazing situation, book. Everything about this experience is truly wonderful. So can you tell us a little bit, elaborate a little more on what exactly happened on that day?
Yes, it was a series of synchronistic events. Serena Dyer, his daughter, had been on my radio show. I have a show called The Angel Quest Show, the first Saturday of every month, and she was on my show a month prior to Dr. Dyer passing. And so I had her contact information. She was talking, when she was on my show, she talked about her wonderful book, Don't Die with the Music Still in You. But I had her contact information, and I knew I had to do something for the family, because I felt that the family, you know, the world was never going to be the same. I adored Dr. Dyer. I was a fan of his. I was not a friend. I didn't know him closely, but I was a fan. So I emailed her and I said, Serena, I'm so sorry to hear about your dad. Please know that he truly is okay and would want you to be okay too. Make sure to ask him to give you, I call it a without a doubt sign, so that you know without a doubt that he's with you. Ask him to come to you in a dream and to wake you up after the dream so you remember it. And then I told her, you know, I had a book called Your Life After Their Death, and the book talks about healing after the passing of a loved one, and I would love to send that to her. So she immediately responded, and she said, yeah, she liked the book, and so I sent it to her. So I was scheduled to speak at that event that you were speaking at, that you were just talking about, I think it was a few days after that. So I went to the event a day prior to the day I was going to speak because they were paying tribute to Dr. Dyer, and I was sitting on a bus with all the Hay House authors, my publisher's authors, and they were going to go from the hotel room over to the conference center where the event was going to be held. And as I'm sitting there, there's only one seat available, and it happens to be next to me, and in walks Serena Dyer, and she comes in and she sits down next to me. So the first thing I just said, oh, Serena, my name's Karen Noe. I'm so sorry to hear about your dad. And she said, oh, Karen, I just got your book. Thank you very much. And we were just talking. I said, have you received any signs from him and any dreams? And we were just talking about that. She said her sister Sage had a dream about her dad, and it was so real she actually felt his, what she said, hairy arms in the dream. So I said, oh, my gosh. That's truly a visitation, without a doubt, and that's wonderful. Just be on the lookout. He's going to be giving you more signs. And that was it. That was pretty much it at that time. We went to the event, and when the event was over, I decided to walk back to the hotel room instead of going on the bus. Because inwardly, I'm saying to myself, and hopefully we'll talk about self-love in a few minutes, but I think to myself that I'm so insignificant. You know, I had my favorite authors on that bus, Wayne Dyer's family, and I didn't feel like I should go on that bus. I didn't feel good enough. So as I'm walking to the hotel room, I'm saying, I'm so insignificant. That's when I heard him for the first time. And he said loudly, get out of your own way. Get out of your own way. And I said, Wayne, is that you? And I said, if it's really you, give me a without a doubt sign to prove it. And I continued to walk to the hotel, and as I'm walking, I said, how may I serve? And he said, you're already serving. And I said, okay, how may I serve more? So I went to the hotel room, and there was something very itchy inside of my shirt. So I reached in to see what it was, and I grabbed it, and it was a sticker that somehow attached itself to the inside of my shirt. And how I know it wasn't there before was that in tiny letters on the bottom of the sticker, it said Disney on it. I had not been to Disney.
Wow.
On the sticker itself, it said W-E. I took it to mean first letter, last letter of Wayne, the first name of Wayne Dyer. Because oftentimes when I receive messages, you know, they give me their first name or they give me first letter, last letter of their name, something like that. And I thought, little did I know, it was so much more than that. But I knew it was a definite sign. I was so excited. And then I felt him laugh saying, is that good enough? I said, you bet. So, long story short, I went home. And shortly afterwards, I received on Facebook a message from Sage Dyer, his youngest daughter. Serena had given her my information, and she wanted to tell me about her dream. So I'll try to make a long story short. So she was telling me, and we were going back and forth via Facebook, and finally, you know, I felt Wayne saying, just call her up. I said, Sage, can I talk to you on the phone? And she said, absolutely. She gave me her phone number, and as we were talking, he gave her a couple of messages that only they would know. So that began the whole process. And then finally I said, you know, Sage, I have a center in about 40 minutes from where you live. if you would like, you know, I am booked for 2 years ahead of time, but I'll move people around. I'm sure people will allow me to move them because of this. And if you would, you know, want to come, I could talk to you in person. And she said, absolutely. Eventually, she emailed me back and asked if her mom and her two sisters, Sky and Serena, could come. And I said, sure. And they flew in from Florida. I hope you're following this so far. You're good so far?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Fascinating.
Okay. Because I'm not coming up for air here. But
okay.
So what happened was that particular day that we made the appointment, here we go again, my feeling insignificant, even though I have been doing readings for years and I'm booked for 2 years ahead of time. Obviously, I'm doing something right. But I never did a reading for Wayne Dyer or his family. So I started to yell at Wayne. I said, you know, what did you get me into? You better come through. So I'm yelling at him. And this is terrible. I decided to go for a walk with my dog. So as I'm walking my dog and I'm saying this to him, you better come through, he started to talk to me. And he was so excited to talk about the afterlife and so excited to talk about the we consciousness, W-E, that's what was on the sticker. Okay, so I understood everything. So every day I would go for a walk with my dog between that point that we made the appointment and the time that they was going to come in. And as I was walking, he would come through telling me about the we consciousness, and I would have my cell phone, and I would be talking into the cell phone so I didn't miss anything. The time comes for the appointment, and as I'm driving to my center, a car cuts me off. And on the license plate, it says Dyer 1 on it.
Oh, gosh.
So I knew, okay, he's coming through today. So I went inside, and they came, and he surely did. He came through for each of them, and he gave them all personal messages. And the first thing he said to them, and he comes through strongly. It's not like I'm shy. Okay, it doesn't sound like I'm shy on the phone, but when you meet me in person, I'm shy. But I was strong because he was coming through me, and, you know, he was a loud person. So he spoke to them each differently. You know, he spoke to Serena a little bit more forcefully and Sage in between and Sky in between, a little bit softer, et cetera. And he said things that only they would know. Because they were personal messages, don't like to share everything that was said. However, in the back of the book, the messages that they like to share is in the back of the book of We Consciousness. I can share one that Serena did share with the public. When we were at the appointment, Wayne said that she was pregnant. And she said, no, I'm not. You know, she just had her other daughter, Sailor, and she said, no, no. And then her belly was flat, so there's no way I would have thought. And he's saying, no, you're pregnant. And he's showing me fireworks. Well, anyway, she went home, took a pregnancy test, and she was indeed in the family way due on the 4th of July.
Oh, gosh.
So
gotta
that's
love
the story
this
about
stuff.
Wayne.
Yeah, okay.
That's the story about how we connected.
That's awesome. So how insignificant do you feel now?
You know, I would love to say I don't feel insignificant, and I am working on it. I don't know what it is, but I have found with all the people that I speak to, this is not an uncommon thing. We all feel, you know, that we're not good enough, or
yes,
that this is something part of the we consciousness that's so important, you know, that we're just as important as everyone else. Peace within is a prerequisite to outer peace. So,
absolutely, absolutely.
Right?
Wow, so fantastic. We just never know from one minute to the next what miracles are going to enter our life.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So what is the we consciousness?
Okay,
what is Wayne representing? Is he the we consciousness, or is explain that.
Okay, first of all, it's not just Wayne Dyer that's coming through in the book. What happened was the first New Year's Eve after he started to come through, and by the way, that first 2 years after the reading, I mean, he has 8 children and a wife, and he made me call them each at different times, many times, 3-4 times a week. You know, I got to know them well. They're so sweet, and, you know, very specific times when they were doing something that he would acknowledge to let them know that he was with them. But that New Year's Eve, I was lying down because I couldn't stay awake for, I wanted to be awake at midnight. I decided to take a nap about 8 o'clock at night. And as I'm lying down, I felt Wayne. And he said to me, now's the time to do what you came on Earth to do. Immediately, I knew what that was. It was to promote peace on Earth. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, so am I going to be, you know, channeling you for the book? And he said, no. Most of the information you have been channeling all these years from the We Guides, and I'll explain who the We Guides are in a minute, and he was going to join them. It's a group consciousness that includes St. Francis of Assisi, as well as himself, angels, ascended masters, etc., that when they came through together, it would be hard to differentiate one from the other. So he was still able to come through singularly for his family, but when he came through during this time for, as the We Consciousness, he would be coming as the We, with the We Guides, if that makes sense.
Okay. Okay, yes. Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, so the We Guides revealed 33 divine guidance, 33 concepts.
Yes.
And there's a significance to that number. What is that significance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I asked the We Guides what, why they chose the number 33, they said it symbolizes divine guidance and the spiritual uplifting of all of creation.
Okay.
So that's
interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. There's 33 of them. I don't know if we want to take the time to read all of them. Can you just talk about a few of the concepts
Sure.
that stand out?
Well,
please?
Absolutely. The first one is probably the most important one, and it says the most important truth is that we are all one, and our oneness encompasses everything and everyone, including God, the angels, ascended masters, enlightened beings from other areas in the universe, deceased loved ones, animals, and nature, you know? And it talks about, the We Consciousness also talks about our divinity and what a person does to oneself, how it affects everyone, the whole. And if you could fully grasp these important truths, you'll be able to create miracles in your life and make a significant difference in the world. So basically, all of them point to that, the oneness, our divinity, you know, how we can make the world a better place and how significant self is, etc. So, yeah, that was number one. Do you want me to give you a few more?
Yeah, like two more, I guess, and then we'll,
because oh, sure.
There's other things I want to ask you about.
Of course. Let's see. Well, number three is the true essence of who you are is God. And to say it in a different way, God is within every one of us with no exceptions. And when I say that, people say, oh, no, that's not possible. I'm not worthy. But truly, we have source energy within every one of us. It's not just Karen Noe. It's not just the priests. It's every one of us have God within us. And when we could reclaim the power within us, we truly can make a difference in the world and have peace in our lives. So that's it. That's very important to know. And by the way, before I go on to anything else, when we're talking about Wayne Dyer coming through to me, he's coming through to many people, not just to me. So
wow.
If you wanted to set the intention of connecting with Dr. Wayne Dyer, that's all you have to do. And then you have to plug into his energy, raise your vibration so it's more on par with the energy of who he is, because right now he's pure love and peace. And when you could do that, you'll be able to hear him. So.
Amazing.
All right, you are. Yeah.
Amazing. Okay.
So, let's see. One more you said, and then we'll.
Yeah, let's do one
on.
More. Let's talk about one more.
Okay. Number 10, that it's imperative to focus on what is right in the world instead of what is wrong. So we need to focus on the positive things, that there are many blessings in our life and in the world. There's so many of that. The more we plug into what we want, the more we'll receive what we want. We want to plug into a higher vibration because we're vibrational beings. We're attracting like unto ourselves. So whatever we're thinking and feeling, we're attracting more of that. So why would we want to focus on what's wrong? We're attracting more of that. In other words, don't do it. Plug into the love and light all around you. Okay.
Well, you know, this, you know, I can't help but wonder, because you talk about the Ascended Masters. And I can't help but wonder if Wayne truly was an Ascended Master. He just was so profoundly impactful in this lifetime. How do you feel about that?
I agree, because what I was saying, why is he in with this group who wasn't just deceased loved ones, you know? So
right.
There are ascended masters and raised elevated consciousness. So absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
On chapter 4, it's called Pathways to Loving Yourself. And you have a great quote from Buddha, which I loved so much that I actually put it on my website this morning. But it says, you can search throughout the entire universe for someone who is more deserving of your love and affection than you are yourself, and that person is not to be found anywhere. You yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserve your love and affection. This is so profound. How did you, you know, you said that you felt insignificant and that,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is something we all need to work on, loving ourselves. So how did you come to this, to find that this was so important? Where did this come from?
Well, they were telling me, and they were saying to me that I'm pretty good at loving other people and seeing through the eyes of others, because as a medium, you could, when they come through, they go through a life review where they're able to see how they've affected each person through the other person's eyes. I could do that right now. However, I'm not good at loving myself. And they were telling me that I needed to work on that. And I had a series of events that actually just happened recently, if I may share, about self-love.
Please. Sure.
I recently went to Assisi because one of my guides is St. Francis of Assisi. And when I was there, I had a profound spiritual experience that I felt him, and I just, you know, it's a long story, but I started weeping, and I couldn't control myself. But I was in Assisi only for 2 days, but right after that experience, and at the time I didn't understand what had happened to me, but in my left eye, in front of my left eye, this is hard for me to explain, but there was a crown of thorns blocking my vision.
Wow.
So it scared the daylights out of me, and I didn't know. Here I am having a wonderful experience, but now it's blocking my vision, and I didn't understand what it was. And my boyfriend was with me, and he said, "We're flying home, we're going to the hospital." And eventually, that crown of thorns blocked my left eye vision. The funny thing is, when I stepped we went on a train ride to Venice from there, and as soon as I went into Venice, my eyesight was restored. So I didn't understand what happened, and when I went home, I was explaining to my son about how beautiful Venice was and Rome, and then I told him the story about the crown of thorns. This has everything to do with self-love. That's why I'm bringing this up.
Sure, I figured.
Yeah. So he, he looked at me and he said, "Oh my goodness," he just had been reading The Course in Miracles. And for whatever reason, he said he felt compelled to put a post-it under this quote. And he didn't know about this until I told him. So he gave me, he said, "Mom, I think this is for you." And so I opened The Course in Miracles, and this is what the quote said. "You still look with the body's eyes, and they can see but thorns. Yet you have asked for, and received another sight. Those who accept the Holy Spirit's purpose as their own share also his vision, and what enables him to see his purpose shine forth from every altar now is yours as well as his. He sees no strangers, only dearly loved and loving friends. He sees no thorns, but only lilies gleaming in the gentle glow of peace and shines on everything." Okay, so you're saying, what does this have to do with love? First of all, I was blown away by that coincidence, which is not a coincidence. I know that was...
Yeah, I guess so.
Yes. And so a week later, I was scheduled to speak with Sage Dyer at the Metaphysical Center in New Jersey about, you know, our experience. And the morning of that event, I am getting ready, trying to go over what I was going to say. And all of a sudden, all my guides, the wee guys, they all came through and told me what I was seeing with thorns. And what do you think that is?
I don't know.
Okay. It is, they were saying that exactly what I was saying before. that I see everyone with loving eyes, but I don't see myself with loving eyes. And that's something that I really need to work on. They didn't say it that way, but they're trying to give me a new vision of self-love, which is even more important because self-love is a prerequisite of peace on earth. So I thought that was significant to share, and it just happened recently. So.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you for sharing that. That's huge.
Yes, thank you.
So how do you do what you do, which is so using so much energy? How do you do what you do without having this bountiful source of self-love?
That's what everybody asks me, but it's something within myself.
Good.
And,
good.
You know, it may be because of who I am that this happens, you know, because I'm able to see through everybody's eyes. I'm able to feel everyone as if they are me, and I'm not quite sure, and I am working on it because I can't preach about peace on earth if I don't create peace within myself. I do love myself. Of course I do.
Yes.
But I have a lot to work on. And I think we all do, don't we? I think that's the message here is we all do.
Absolutely. And as soon as we finish working on one thing, another thing pops up. So, yes, there's always something to work on, or we wouldn't continue to be here. There's you talk about writing positive letters to ourselves. To boost our self-love and self-confidence. And I really like this because it is something everyone can do. And we never really think about it or take the time to do it. So what are some tips for writing a letter to ourselves?
So what I would tell you to do is to sit back and pretend you're speaking to a different person rather than yourself and say, I would say something like, Dear Karen. And then talk about all your positive qualities, just as if you're speaking to someone else. Then forgive yourself if you've done anything in your life. Write about that and see why you did it. And then forgive yourself, seeing that you did the best you could at that time. Right? You didn't mean to hurt anyone. Maybe you did unintentionally, but you did nonetheless. But forgive yourself. And talk about, you know, how you've made a difference in the world and why you're proud of yourself. It's how to keep going on and on. The reason why writing a letter helps is because it takes time to think about. And then you have a physical piece of evidence right there to remind you whenever you have doubts again. You know, give yourself the respect that you deserve. And this is truly an excellent exercise. I talk more about it. I wrote a book called Through the Eyes of Another, and there's a whole chapter on that as well, how to write a letter to yourself. And when I was going through a difficult situation in my life, I actually, that was one of the most therapeutic, as you can imagine, letters to write, because there are other types of letters, writing to your loved ones, deceased loved ones, and letters of forgiveness, et cetera. But the letter to myself was the most profound.
I like that. I really do. I'm probably going to steal that idea and share it.
Do it, absolutely. And keep it
and
available.
Share it with people. Yeah, I think it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So you start your chapter, it's called Extending Your Peace Outward. You start it with this really interesting quote, which seems as if it is opposite of what we're talking about, but it really isn't. So the quote is, nothing in nature lives for itself. Rivers don't drink their own water. Trees don't eat their own fruit. The sun doesn't shine for itself. A flower's fragrance is not for itself. Living for others is the rule of nature. So what we do, everything we do in life affects the whole. So how, because I would imagine some people are saying, well, if we're supposed to live for others, then how do we love ourselves and live for others as well? So I'm going to pose that to you.
That's such a good question. If you understand that we are all one, and that includes others as well as ourselves, whatever you do to yourself or others is the same.
Okay.
Concept 29 says, when you direct your attention to love and light outside of yourself, you expand the light within yourself as well. So that's because we're all one. You know, it's hard to see that and understand that when we are in a physical body, because it feels like you are there, I am over here, our bodies separate us. But when our essence of who we are leaves the physical body, we can feel that connection in an instant, and you truly understand what this is all about.
Wow. Great answer. Thank you. Thank you. You know what? I was reading that, and it just dawned on me that that it's almost opposite, yet it's the Well, anyway.
Yeah,
like
you
said,
realize
you
that we're all one. Yeah.
Yeah, you explained that really, really well. You explained that well. So, to my listeners, we are talking with Karen Noe, and we're talking about her book, We Consciousness, 33 Profound Truths for Inner and Outer Peace. And this is a truly amazing and inspirational book that I recommend that everyone get and read. Especially if you are a fan of Wayne Dyer, you will just be blown away by the things that he has to say. So is there anything that I haven't really brought up that you think is important to talk about?
The most important thing I would say is we all really need to raise our vibration so that it's more on par with the divine within us. You know, if we can do that and have more compassion, practice forgiveness, you know, meditate, spend time in nature, be grateful, all of that. If more of us did this, we would raise the vibration of the planet and peace would become a reality. So I think that's extremely important. It takes each one of us to raise the vibration of the planet.
You're absolutely right. You even have a prayer in here, a prayer to raise the vibration of the world. And we can actually, let's do this prayer. I don't know if you have it in front of you, but I can read it.
Okay. Do you know what page
Dearest
it is?
God.
Okay,
it's page, Appendix C, page 161.
Okay. You have it, right?
Yeah, I have it.
Okay.
Okay, so let's say it. Dearest God, please allow all of us to rise to a higher level of consciousness where peace prevails on earth. Help us release all negative and fearful energy now. Allow us to see your love within each person. Take away anything that blinds us from experiencing this total love. Please release negativity from all world leaders. And then you can, do you have it in front of you?
Yes, I do.
You can continue.
Want me to read the rest?
Yeah.
Allow them to see that love and forgiveness are the most powerful weapons, and allow only leaders who will maintain peace to remain in a position of power. Allow your love to dispel all darkness from everyone involved in terroristic activities. Let this love permeate them now so that they will never want to harm anyone again. Let your love shine through in the media so that love and peace are the main focus, not war and violence. Allow those in the media to understand that they bring more energy to what they cover. So allow them to deliberately cover more peaceful, positive events that are happening in this world. We thank you, God, and all your wonderful angels for allowing us to experience only peace from this point on. We're sorry for the error of our ways in the past, but that is all behind us now. At this time and forevermore, may peace prevail on earth. And so it is.
Wow. Okay, so, and that prayer and prayer to create peace within, prayer for deeper understanding of the weak consciousness, I'm just seeing one, peace prayer to those in the celestial realm, prayer to become an instrument of peace, prayer of peace for those who are grieving. There's several prayers in this book. They're all beautiful. So, but you need to have this book in order to be able to know these prayers. And the other thing you talk about, which I told you before we went on air, is you talk about the various archangels and what they represent and how we can ask for things that we want. So, you know, the one most of us know is Archangel Michael. But what are some of the other archangels?
Sure. Now, remember, if we call upon the archangels, we're not taking them away from somebody else. They can be in more than one place at one time. So
okay.
That's important to know. Archangel Raphael is the angel who helps you to heal on some level, whether it be mind, body, or spirit. So you have everything to gain and nothing to lose when you need a healing or someone you know needs a healing. You ask Archangel Raphael to help you with that. Archangel Gabriel is the one that helps you in communicating. So when I'm writing or when I'm speaking in public, I call upon Archangel Gabriel to help me with that. There are so many. I could go on and on. If animals, such as pets, need assistance, you could call upon Archangel Ariel. And she helps also with environmental issues. So that's extremely important to know as well. You want me to go on and on? One more? If you want to see the beauty in every situation. You could call upon Archangel Raphael. She'll help you with any artistic project. So, you know, if you don't need to memorize the angels. All you have to do, say you want help in speaking, just say the angel of communication, please help me, and they'll be with you. And by the way, it's important not to beg. When you're saying a prayer, don't beg. That it's almost as if you don't believe it's going to happen. So what I say is, Archangel Gabriel, thank you for being with me. As if you know, without a doubt, that Gabriel's with you. And it will be so. So that's important, too.
That is very important. We will always want to speak things as if they have manifested or that we're being heard. I agree with you. That's such an important point. So you asked Wayne Dyer, what is it like in the afterlife? And I'm looking at it on page 127. But do you remember what he said?
I do.
How he describes
would you
the
like
afterlife?
Me to read? Yeah, would you like
yeah,
me to
you
read
can read it.
It.
That would be great.
I have it right in front of me. I said to him, what is it like in the afterlife? And this is what he said. Now, I want to say also, when I'm receiving messages from deceased loved ones, as well as Wayne Dyer, they download information to me, and I translate it in my words. Okay? So that it's, people say, you're hearing word for word. It's more like that, downloaded information. And then I say, is this right? And then he'll say, yes. So this is what he said.
Okay.
Where I am now is not the afterlife, but the continuation of life without the restrictions of the physical body that bound me to the earth plane. One minute I was confined to a physical shell. The next I was free as I stepped into this pure state of infinite love. I yearned to reach this level of awareness for the last several years of my earthly existence. So I was surprised and delighted to achieve this goal in an instant. As I remembered, re-entered this familiar state of consciousness and arrived at my true place of origin, I was greeted by my loved ones, including my mother and, yes, my father, too, and glorious celestial beings eager to welcome me back home. I am now elated that I can be wherever I wish to be with a simple thought of a desired location anywhere in the universe. I am still aware and interested in what transpires on Earth, but I now comprehend that it is just a tiny speck in the totality of all of creation. Make sure to tell everyone that the same loving consciousness that you have called God really does exist. It is present within everything and everyone in the entire universe. This spirit of God does not judge me or anyone else because it is all loving. On the other hand, I am now able to see how my actions, good and bad, have affected all those in my life, and I continue to grow and evolve. I'm also able to see through my loved ones' eyes to understand why they behaved in certain ways with no judgment. In this new place of reality, one always experiences pure joy and contentment. I continually bask in complete unconditional love, feeling my connection to the whole, while at the same time experiencing the freedom of doing whatever I wish to do and being wherever I desire to be. While on Earth, I was able to connect to millions of like minds who were yearning for the truths of which I spoke. To them, I am pleased to say that the essence of the teachings I gave when I was in the physical body has now been confirmed to be true. Also, please spread this message to everyone who will listen. We are all one in love. Everything else is just an illusion.
Oh, wow. How did you feel after receiving that message?
I cried. I cried.
I'll bet you did.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How beautiful. Wow. Have you heard, through other people, have you heard what it's like to be on the other side? Or generally when loved ones come through, they just have a message specific to what their loved one needs to hear, their loved one on this plane needs to hear?
Yeah.
People really reveal to you?
Yeah, for the most part, when deceased loved ones come through, they give messages to the living loved ones about personal things that are going on in their lives. They don't stay. I mean, he was so excited to talk about the we consciousness. This doesn't usually happen. You know,
no.
Usually is, you know, oh, yes, you went to the farmer's market this morning and you got this, you know, so you think that you know that they're with you. No, they don't talk about the we consciousness and the afterlife for the most part. And this was, you know, this is Wayne Dyer.
Well,
his agenda, the bigger perspective.
Well, I would imagine that just having had this experience has elevated your energy level, your vibration, just almost on a permanent level, because I could imagine how that would feel. As I think of it, it just makes me feel that way. It makes me feel like
Absolutely.
I'm vibrating higher. It's so
mm-hmm.
cool. Oh, wow. So I'm so excited that we were able to talk today. Karen, do you have a website, or how do people contact you?
Yes, my website is karennoe.com, and that's karennoe.com.
Okay. And you have a 2-year waiting list, but if someone is willing to wait that amount of time and they want to get on that list, they just go to that website?
This is the problem. The ones who come to see me would like to come back. So that 2-year waiting list are the ones who I had to cut it off at one point, because then it was extended 3 years, 4 years, and I don't know what I'm going to be doing in that. So, but what I am doing, in-person healings in New Jersey, I wouldn't turn anybody down, you know, for the living loved ones as they're going through the grieving process. I do Reiki and healing, and I set aside special days for healing, but it is in-person. Yeah.
Okay.
I do travel around the country if people like to come to classes, and they could find that on my website as well.
Okay, that's perfect. Well, thank you. It was such a pleasure meeting you, talking to you, sharing your experience, reading your book, and I'm very grateful to have had you on my show today. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on.
You are so very welcome. And I hope you have a wonderful day.
You too.
Okay. Thank you. So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. And I hope you will join me next time for more of a fine time for healing.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.